This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Today is a day of firsts. Earlier, I met John Morosi in person for the first time. I now look to my right. It's another individual who I am now meeting in person for the first time. You know how you might text somebody and talk to somebody, but you guys just haven't figured out a way to link? It's like baseball Tinder. Jake Eisenberg here with us live on location at Kauffman Stadium, man. How you doing?
You know what, C-Dot? If this is baseball Tinder, I'd swipe right any day.
Right now, we are very happy to be joined by Jake Eisenberg here. All right, Jake.
You had no idea what to say to that.
I was about to make a joke, and then I was like, you know what, man? Let's just move forward. That's what I was about to make. You know?
By the way, it's good to finally meet you in person and put a face with the name and the voice and all that.
So we're happy to be joined by Jake Eisenberg. All right, this is where I would like to start. Do you want to talk about the walks or the offense? Because I would say those are the two biggest reasons why the Royals are down in this series.
Well, I think they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, I took a look at some of the numbers this morning through the first three games of this ALDS, and the offensive numbers between the Royals and the Yankees are super even. They've scored the same number of runs. The Royals have actually out-hit the Yankees. The Yankees have one more home run than the Royals do, 3-2. The strikeouts are pretty even. The Royals have been better with runners in scoring position, but the biggest difference, by far the biggest difference, is the walks. The Royals have drawn 7 walks. The Yankees have drawn 22 walks. The Yankees have actually walked more times than they've gotten hits, and that's really buoyed a Yankees offense that hasn't produced in the ways that they produced during the regular season. I mean, we're talking about one of the best offenses in baseball, and they drew their fair share of walks. They had the highest walk rate of any team in baseball this year. They did draw the most total walks of any team in baseball this year, but it's the Yankees offense that also hit the most home runs in baseball this year and outscored their opponents by 147 runs this year, and we're talking about three games that have been decided by a total of 4 runs. The Royals have 2 one-run losses and 1 two-run win, and the walks have been the biggest difference.
I mean, that's been the thing that's really stood out to me the most in this is, I think on paper you would just think, oh, you look at that Yankees lineup from top to bottom, and you look at the Royals, and you think, man, the Yankees have a big advantage in this series. They really don't have a big advantage in this series. At least that's not the way that this has played itself out. You're right, it's the walks, and if you're going to give a team 15 extra base runners, eventually a team as talented as they are going to figure it out. And we also had a stat where for teams that score 2 or fewer runs in a baseball playoff game since the playoffs expanded, those teams are 8-67. It's just really hard to beat teams at this stage of the season, 2-1, 1-0, and 3 has kind of been that magical number. Yesterday was a race to see who could get to 3. You mentioned the one extra home run. Man, the one extra home run, it could be the potential difference, is the difference of you being up 2-1 in the series or being down 2-1 in the series. The offense and that slight difference between the two is currently giving the Yankees the advantage.
Yeah, and Matt Quatrero talks all the time about the razor-thin margins in baseball between winning and losing, and we've seen that on full display in the postseason. I think we're used to seeing it, you know, taking a macro view. We're used to seeing that on display in the postseason, and the reason why runs are so hard to come by in the postseason is because it's the best pitchers on the best teams and usually the best bullpens, and it's really hard to hit, especially in high-pressured environments, you know, when everything's on the line, no matter who you are, whether you're a team's star player or you're a guy who's coming off the bench and pinch-hitting in a big spot. As far as this series is concerned, you know, when I look at the walks that the Yankees have drawn, and you do have to give them some credit for the approach they've had. I mean, yesterday the Yankees drew 9 walks, and yes, that does mean the Royals issued 9 walks, but outside of those 9 walks, Yankees hitters saw 11 full counts. 11 full counts, and 6 of them combined were between Anthony Volpe and Oswaldo Cabrera, the 7 and 8 hitters in the Yankees lineup. Those two combined to walk 5 times and see 6 full counts. That's a lot of extra pitches. That's a lot of high-stress pitches. Ultimately, it's a lot of extra base runners. And ultimately, of the 9 walks that the Royals issued yesterday, one of them resulted in a run. That was Juan Soto, who drew a leadoff walk and then came around to score on Stanton's double for the first run of the game. You know, of the 22 walks that the Royals have issued, 5 of them have turned directly into runs. And again, when you've limited a Yankees offense to 11 total runs the entire series, and 5 of them have crossed home plate after reaching base via a walk, that's understandably frustrating.
We love a good cross-sport analogy on this show. We love a good basketball comparison. I don't know how much Olympic basketball you got a chance to watch, but Steph Curry shot terrible in the Olympics for the first 4 games of it. And you were just kind of waiting, man, you know, he's too good of a shooter. Eventually, he's going to figure things out. He figured things out in their last 2 games. I'm hoping that same thing happens for Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, we're talking about somebody who is in the conversation of the best hitter in the planet, and so far he has been missing in action for the first 3 games of this series. The Yankees kind of have the luxury where if Aaron Judge doesn't hit a home run, well, you got Stanton, you got Soto, you got so many other options. I mean, this offense largely goes and comes kind of as Bobby Witt. I mean, they scored 3 runs in the Orioles series. He had 2 of the RBIs, a major reason on why they won. What are you seeing from Bobby Witt Jr.? What does he need to do to get things back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in some ways. I'm going to push back a little bit because I think the offense is more than just Bobby Witt Jr. Salvador Perez had 104 RBIs this year.
Yeah.
Vinny Pasquantino at 97 before he got hurt. And Michael Massey's having a heck of a postseason. And the Royals have also gotten contributions from Yuli Gurriel, who's gotten on base a ton. Tommy Pham has had a couple of big hits. Garrett Hampson has had a few big hits. So the Royals offense does have a little bit more depth than just Bobby Witt Jr. That said, he's 1-for-13 so far in this series. And the reason why it raises an eyebrow is that he had the impact in the wild card series that we saw. He had both go-ahead RBIs in the wild card series. Vinny Pasquantino had an RBI in that wild card series in just his second game coming off the injured list. I think what you're seeing, and this is, you know, from up on high, so to speak, looking down and not really seeing everything happening up close, but, you know, I think Michael Massey actually said it pretty well a little bit earlier on. You know, when you go into a postseason series or any series, each team is going to have a number of hitters they circle where they say, okay, this guy's not going to beat us. And the way that the Yankees have approached pitching to Bobby Witt Jr., they've pitched him pretty darn carefully. A lot of stuff down and away, a lot of soft stuff down and away too. And I think we saw later in the game yesterday, you know, Bobby realized that, you know, Luke Weaver wasn't really going after him. And Bobby takes the walk. And then he gets a hit, you know, his next time up at bat. And I think you're seeing Bobby start to adjust to the fact that he's not going to get a whole lot to hit. And that's because the Yankees aren't going to let him beat him. So you tip your cap to the Yankees' pitching approach to Bobby, and now it's up to Bobby to adjust to that approach and do some damage anyway if he can, or take the walks that he's being given and allow Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez and the rest to drive him in like we saw happen all season long.
Right now we're joined on location by Jake Eisenberg, one of the play-by-play voices for the Royals. We were talking about this right before you got here. What do you think about the decision to keep Vinny in that 3 spot? Because Rob and I kind of have the same idea. Maybe you move Vinny down in the lineup a little bit, only has 2 hits since he's come back. He is 2-for-19 coming back from the injury. I think we all would agree that Vinny's not 100% right now. The offense could use a little bit of a spark. Do you think that's an overreaction? Obviously, the Royals do. They decided to keep their lineup the way that it's been.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. I think it might be a little bit of an overreaction. I think ultimately what Vinny Pasquantino brings to the table, especially in that 3 hole, is more than just sheer tangible production. It's the quality of his at-bat. It's forcing the pitcher to throw him a strike or force a pitcher to work around him. And when you sandwich him between Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, and you create that balance of right, left, right, and that's now with Michael Massey at the top of the lineup, you know, having, again, a terrific postseason. He's got 7 hits, most on the team. I think that balance and that depth, I think that's one of the main reasons why Vinny Pasquantino is in the lineup where he is because of the quality of at-bat that he gives. And, you know, let's not forget, he was, what, centimeters away from a base hit up the middle in the late innings yesterday. It would have been, you know, a Bobby single, a Vinny single, a Salvi single, and we might be talking about bases loaded or even a tie game if Anthony Volpe doesn't make that diving play or that ball off Vinny's bat spins a little bit less. I mean, that thing knuckled through the air. It was kind of weird to watch from, you know, from our radio booth. But that's kind of what we're talking about, these razor-thin margins, how close everything is. And so, yeah, I think Vinny Pasquantino being in that three-hole is still really important for the Royals because of the threat that he is and the quality of at-bat that he gives.
What are you expecting from the pitching matchup today?
Well, it's a rematch of Game 1, and the Royals got to Gerrit Cole pretty well. The Royals had 11 hard-hit balls against Gerrit Cole. That's a ball hit at least 95 miles an hour, and during the regular season, balls hit over 95 miles an hour. Hitters were hitting 490 on those types of balls in play. So you hit the ball hard, good things happen, and the Royals did not get the hits necessarily in bunches against Gerrit Cole, but the 11 hard hits allowed, that tied a career high for Gerrit Cole. And, you know, yes, he is one of the premier pitchers of the game, and he's one of the best postseason pitchers in recent baseball history in terms of postseason ERA. But the Royals executed a game plan against Gerrit Cole this past Saturday, and they're able to tag him for 4 runs, 3 of them earned. MJ Melendez hit a big 2-run homer in that game. The Royals manufactured a run with, you know, the Tommy Pham sacrifice fly and Yuli Gurriel coming in to score. So, you know, I think from a Royals offense perspective, you can at least hope or expect for similar results. And from Michael Wacha's perspective, one of the stunning things about the way this ALDS has gone so far within the context of the walks that we're talking about is of the 22 walks that Royals pitching has issued, 11 of them have been by the starters. The starters, Reagans, Lugo, and Wacha, have more walks than strikeouts so far in this postseason, which really raised an eyebrow because, you know, Reagans gets a ton of strikeouts. He issues his fair share of walks, a little bit more than average, but Lugo had one of the best walk rates in baseball this year. Michael Wacha was right around average in terms of walk rate, and so that's really been kind of a flip of the script. And so I think the key for Michael Wacha is to avoid the free passes. We saw in Game 1, you know, he issued a leadoff walk to Gleyber Torres in the fifth inning. Borderline pitch, probably, maybe strike three. Instead, it winds up, you know, as a leadoff walk. Torres comes around to score in Game 1, and ultimately it was a one-run game, and the Royals lose 6-5. So I think the key for any Royals pitcher, but especially Michael Wacha, is if the Yankees are going to beat you, make them beat you with their bat, not with it left on their shoulder.
Last thing here, Jake, and we appreciate your time. I guess a two-part question. First part question, what was it like to be home after being gone for basically 3 weeks? And I know you asked Denny, you asked Ryan, you asked a lot of people who were here in 2014, hey, what's Kauffman Stadium going to be like? What did it measure up to based the stories you heard versus when you actually got a chance to experience what a home playoff game was like?
Well, first, it was great to be home. I'd almost forgotten what my bed looked like. It was great to, you know, be back in our apartment and have some familiar routines and make coffee in the morning and do all those things that you normally do when you're home and come to the ballpark and see all the familiar faces here that we hadn't seen in 2 weeks. And heck, when we left, there wasn't a guarantee that we would because the Royals hadn't clinched a playoff spot yet. A lot can happen in 2 weeks. As far as the atmosphere is concerned, I mean, 40,000 yesterday, you know, screaming and waving those towels, and I was blown away. Not because my expectation was less than what the reality was, just because whatever expectation you have, the reality in a playoff atmosphere like that is always going to surpass whatever expectation you have. And to be honest, and this isn't to needle or poke or anything like that, but, you know, Camden Yards, that atmosphere was great. Still, there were a couple of things about it that I was a little surprised. I was surprised that it wasn't as raucous of an environment. And Yankee Stadium, too. Yeah, nearly 50,000 plus there, but the seats are so far back and the sound doesn't carry the same way. And you didn't feel, you know, fully enveloped by the sound at Yankee Stadium either. Here, and I've told our producer engineer Eric Guthrie this because I asked him to turn up the crowd noise in my headset so I can hear a little bit more. You just, in the best way possible, you drown in the noise of this ballpark, and it is such a beautiful thing to feel. You can feel this place vibrate, and you can feel this place just willing to go crazy for some incredible thing and raise the hair on your arms. And, you know, Michael Massey's RBI triple yesterday, he's screaming, running around the bases, and he can't hear himself think, and neither can Vance Wilson, the third base coach, and neither can us in the radio booth. I mean, that is the atmosphere that you dream of, and it was so cool to kind of sit in the middle of that and drink it all in. And I'm so excited for what everybody's going to bring tonight, and not just tonight, but the rest of this postseason.
That was our guy Jake Eisenberg joining us on the show today. He's going to be on the call later today. You can hear that right here on 96.5 The Fan. Jake, I enjoyed our first baseball tender date, man. Thanks.
Yeah,
this was nice.
This was nice.
I look forward to having a second one, man. Let's do this again on Monday when they're hosting Game One of the ALCS.
All right, perfect. Second date it is.
Absolutely. That's our guy Jake Eisenberg. Coming up, we go from one Royals great to another when Josh Vernier joins us down here at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. So drive.
Welcome to your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. We are live outside Kauffman Stadium. We just have a cavalcade of people coming through. Jake Eisenberg was here. John Morosi was here. Rex Hudler's going to be on the show coming up in a little bit. Joel Goldberg is going to be on the show coming up in a little bit. We'll talk about, you know what, I'll save them. We got to talk about Bob Costas at some point. We have to.
Don't do it around me. I don't
okay,
want
yeah,
it.
No, I just said we
I
have to
Bob
at
Costas.
Some point. I love Bob Costas, too. He called Jordan's last shot with the Bulls. We all love Bob Costas. Bob Costas is like Derrick
right
Johnson
away,
on the Raiders. That's what he is
oh,
right
that
now.
Jordan call. Oh. And he right in the moment, he said that could be the final image.
No.
Oh, he
if you love the NBA in the 90s, you love Bob Costas. I'm telling you right now, he is Emmitt Smith on the Arizona Cardinals. That's what he sounds like on these broadcasts right now. We'll talk about it here coming up in a bit. All right. Josh Vernier, what was your biggest takeaway from Game 3? Biggest takeaway, you're
there. Yankees were the better team. I heard you talking about Clark Schmidt being the X factor yesterday. He was balling. Their bullpen was outstanding. Luke Weaver took control of that game. Did Juan Soto get a favorable call on that leadoff walk, the 3-1 offering? Yeah, I thought it was strike two, but Juan Soto's going to get that call because Juan Soto's earned that call over the years. That run turns out to bite him. Seth Lugo with an ill-advised walk to Oswaldo Cabrera. And a game between two quality teams, it's something that small that ultimately is going to come back to bite you, and that's exactly what happened.
Do you think the biggest problem right now was the walks or the offense?
The offense, yeah, the offense. Listen, yeah, the walks is such a relative term. You know, Sam Long's walk and John Schreiber's walk, I'm not going to say they were inexcusable, but they were at the center of the Game 1 loss. It was Seth Lugo's walks that bit you yesterday. We expect a little bit more out of Seth Lugo, so I wouldn't say that the walks are biting him more than the offense, or the offense is biting him more than the walks. What I would say is Lugo needed to be better, and Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi all need to be better. Your stars got to pick it up because, you know, right now, Giancarlo Stanton, Juan Soto, and maybe tonight Garrett Cole will take a stranglehold on this series.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that we just talk about baseball differently than how we talk about the other sports. Like in football, like you are not winning a Super Bowl if you don't get good Patrick Mahomes, good Travis Kelce, good Chris Jones. Like, it is inherently understood you need these guys to win. In basketball, you're not winning if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday don't shoot well. That's right. Just not the way that it goes.
Right.
I mean, in this series, the Royals have gotten very little from maybe one of the three best baseball players in the planet with Bobby Witt Jr., and they have gotten almost next to nothing from their three hitter in Vinny Pasquantino. He doesn't have a hit in this series. He has five strikeouts and two walks in this series. You're just not expected to beat a team as good as the New York Yankees when your two biggest run producers ain't producing runs.
Especially when they did so much of the heavy lifting all season, right? When they were so key to everything. It wasn't one of those. And I always bring up 14 and 15, but it wasn't one of those teams where Gordo can give you something if he's in the eight spot. Moose can run into one when he's in the seven spot. This team all season has been, of course, rotation, defense, and team speed. But yeah, those three carrying, you know, 70%, 75% of the load for the offense. So when they're a collective no-show and you're expecting guys that haven't carried an offense really at any point in their career. Sure, Massey's had a nice stretch, and MJ's had nice stretches here and there, and Yuli's a legend of the game. But if you're expecting that trio to replace the three that you mentioned in Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, yeah, it's going to be an exit.
What would you do with Vinny? Because today they have him hitting three again. Rob and I are kind of on the same vein. I mean, he is 2 for 19 since he is coming back, and I think everybody acknowledges you're not 100% right now. You were really trying to battle through it right now, and I got all the respect in the world for that. But this isn't the regular season where you get 100 at-bats to kind of get into the groove of things. You get 150 ABs. Like, this becomes a football game, a basketball game, where every decision, every game matters. And the Royals might not have a game after this. So I would have been in the position of shaking things up today with the lineup. I would have moved Vinny down to maybe 6 or 7 in this lineup and kind of jumble some things around. That's not the way that manager Q decided to do it. Hey, I'm going to go with the guys that got me here. This is what I think our best lineup is. Do you agree with that decision?
I do, because everyone that I speak to, there's no the injury hasn't worsened, right? It's not as if he had a bad swing in the Baltimore series or against the Yankees, and now we're seeing him nosedive offensively. Furthermore, the idea of moving him down in the lineup, Dusty earlier this morning brought up the idea of just not even having him in the lineup. You know, I understand why you would say it if there was a better option to go opposite Gerrit Cole. Even moving him down in the lineup, is there a better way to protect Bobby and Salvi other than Vinny in that 3 spot, Yuli in the 5 spot? I, again, go back to the previous response of just how much of the weight those 3 bats have carried. And if they can't carry the weight in October, well, then this magical run's going to come to an end.
Right now, we're joined on location by Josh Vernier here.
Same thing with Seth Lugo, right? Cole Reagan's coming up possibly on Saturday. If your stars that led you here don't continue to do so, your run is going to end. Obviously, you need those complementary pieces to come up key along the way. But the reason why you got to the World Series in 2014 was, HDH and Lorenzo Cain. The reason why you got to the World Series in 2015 was a Johnny Cueto, HDH, and a pretty solid middle of the lineup in Lorenzo Cain, Kendrys Morales, and Eric Hosmer.
Could you see them doing something drastic today if they're down 2-1 in the sixth inning? Just knowing that, hey, there is no tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only 12 outs left potentially in our season. Could you see him doing something drastic?
Of course, yeah. I mean, Lucas Erceg could try to pick up a 7-out save. Cole Reagans could get a big out against a lefty out of the bullpen.
He was the guy I was really worried about in Cole Reagans, because I understand you're trying to save that bullet in the gun. But, man, you might not
get a chance. But he's going to throw today anyway.
Yes, I'm saying. You might not get a chance to fire that bullet on Saturday if you don't take care of business today. Could you see him doing it on the flip side if they're up? I don't want to only spin it like if they're down.
Sure.
Like, if they are up 2-1 here, could you see a scenario in which Cole Reagans pitches in the eighth inning to try to get you to Lucas Erceg? Because we got to figure out a way to get to game 5, or he doesn't matter anyway.
Well, you certainly, you don't eliminate anything. Yeah, the possibility of using Reagans is there. I think it's more likely you do it to one batter, a lot like you did to Brady Singer last night, but with the new rule of you got to face 3, it could put Reagans in a difficult spot. So, do you do it if you're down? Yes. Do you do it if you're up, knowing that Saturday's start awaits? That might be a little bit more difficult, because you have so many other left-handed options in that bullpen. You're likely trying to stay away from Bubich, but again, all hands on deck. You still have Daniel Lynch, who hasn't thrown a pitch, Sam Long out there ready to go. But yeah, certainly all hands on deck, and Cole Reagans could certainly give you the 3 batter minimum.
Are you surprised at the series that Bobby Wood is having? I made the basketball analogy earlier with Jake Eisenberg. I don't know how much of the Olympics you got a chance to watch, but Steph Curry did not shoot well for most of the Olympics until it was time. All right, hey, it is gold medal time. It is time for me to lock in because I'm the best shooter in the planet. I mean, right now, Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the 3 best baseball players in the world.
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, and Bobby Wood Jr. Yep. He's been bad for the most part in
offensively.
This series.
Yeah, he's
been bad offensively in this series.
Yep.
Does that surprise you a little bit? And what are you seeing from him that he needs to be doing to potentially get back on track?
Well, they've pitched him pretty well, to be honest. Now, did he expand? You know, going back to game one, yeah, there was an at-bat against Clay Holmes where maybe he expanded. I look at last night's matchup with Clark Schmidt. I thought Schmidt attacked him very well through four straight on the black on the outside, and you know, Bobby's fouling him off. He got into swing mode, and then he breaks the sweeper off that's well off the plate, and Bobby swings through it. So, you know, I'm not going to say he's pressing. Is he expanding? Is he trying to pick the team up? Yeah, certainly. And I'm no question about it. I'm surprised because, you know, when a guy hits 332, you just expect him to come through with that big knock when he drives in 100 runs over the course of the season. And when he's that fast, you just think he's going to run into an infield base hit, steal a bag, and completely flip the game, which he could still do. You know, you know how it could go. You win tonight, you go into New York, and you're the villain there, and you snatch the souls of Yankees fans, and all of a sudden all is well in the world for Bobby.
Are you surprised he didn't try to steal the base there late?
Not surprised, because he always has the green light. But, you know, talking with, hearing from the manager after the game, Luke Weaver very quick to the plate. You want someone that's about 1-3, 1-4, 1-5 to get a nice jump. Luke Weaver's 1-1 to the plate, and he was pumping 96, 97, 98. Not a great pitch to run on, and Bobby's not going to go unless he knows he's going to be safe, because you're not trying to take the bat out of Salvi's hand. So, not surprised. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the first inning tonight if the opportunity presents itself.
The text line is going to kill me if I don't ask you about the strike zone. What were your thoughts on the strike zone? Royals fans are hot, by the way.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you watch a baseball game. If you watch a baseball game really closely, you're going to notice missed calls. That's what happens. And when you lose by one run, yeah, you're going to focus on that. But
I'm actually just...
Especially Chiefs fans. It's just so silly to me, the people that complain all the time about, oh, all you stupid Chargers fans saying that the, you know, Bills fans saying the refs are against us. Now we're saying the same thing about, oh, the umps are against us because they're pro-Yankees. I mean, let's have some self-awareness here.
I'm just happy that you said that, because what I said earlier got cooked on the text line. I was like, wait, hold on. Whenever the Bills say this and the Bengals fans say this, you guys jump down their throat and say you're losers. Be better than Patrick Mahomes. Now you're on the other side of it. Now it's, oh, woe is me. So I'm just happy you said it. Now I can co-sign your belief. So direct any of those text lines. Also, if something goes wrong with the radio broadcast today, it's also your fault.
Yeah, no, I wore that one last night.
No, I just want you to go ahead and know that right now. I want them to know if anything goes wrong.
We're good tonight. We're good right here, baby. 96.5 The Fan.
I don't want anybody to know. Give me a key today for the Royals. Something you haven't been seeing. Hey, the Royals really need to X tonight.
They need to, hit with runners in scoring position. That's something that jumps out. I mean, it'd be nice to get to the Yankees bullpen. You know, listen, to think just because you tagged Gerrit Cole back in game one, you hit him hard. To think that that's going to be duplicated, I think some people are forgetting. Yeah, you got to him slightly in game one, but he's still a guy that's finished top five in the Cy Young Award voting in half of the seasons in his big league career. He's one of the best pitchers of his generation, and he has the opportunity to punch his team's ticket to the ALCS. I'm expecting a nasty Gerrit Cole today. So I think the best way to combat that is make him, like we talked about yesterday, make him come to you. Stop expanding, get that pitch count up, and let's get some runs off of that Yankees bullpen, because if those two combined, a strong Yankees bullpen, they were outstanding yesterday with one of the best pitchers of his generation. I mean, the Yankees could come in here and throw up a goose egg.
What did you see from Walker in game one? What does he need to replicate in game four?
I mean, keep dominating Aaron Judge. That would be nice.
Everybody's doing that right now.
He was up in the zone a little bit too much. Now, I'm sure part of that was game plan, but for a Yankees team that has done just the opposite of the Royals, they've done a great job of making the Royals pitchers come to them. Waka might not want to come to them up in the zone, especially when they have the mashers up and down their lineup, right? They're different than this Royals team. It's not Vinny, Salvi, Bobby, or Bust. You know, Jazz Chisholm could change the game with one swing.
What was the, right now we're talking to Josh Verner. He's joining us live on vacation, or location, not vacation.
Almost.
I don't want to be, I don't want to be on vacation. I want to be on
could
location.
Be a few hours away.
Not vacation here. What was the response toward Jazz Chisholm? Because you've seen some times where
it was great.
It was very directed at one individual. It was loud. Then he said, I've never seen them boo a bum. You ain't never been to a sporting event before, because I can think of plenty of times we booed somebody that we thought were a bum. What are you talking about? Sometimes you boo the guys on your own team because you think that they're a bum.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jazz Chisholm was talking about. It has been a while since you've seen Kauffman Stadium like it was last night. How was the atmosphere?
Yeah, that was great. Booing Jazz Chisholm was great because he's such a great sport about it, and you know, he's... You know, he's got some of that Manny Machado in him where he doesn't mind being the villain.
Baseball needs more people like him.
I'm a fan of his. I like everything about him, especially if he boots a ball tonight over there at third base. He certainly embraced it. He came out, and when they announced his name, he's got a big old smile on his face. He's laughing at the crowd. I love that. And as Jake mentioned earlier, when Massey hit that triple, I mean, it was... I mean, I could feel it in my eardrums, and I was shaking up there in the press box. It was very Eric Hosmer wildcard-esque. Into like Hosmer, when he was between second and third base, you could see he already wanted to celebrate and look at the dugout. Michael Massey, the exact same thing. They're tired from a long run home to third, but they're also, their adrenaline is flowing so much that they came up off the bag and just let out a primal yell. I've never seen that kind of emotion from Michael Massey, and obviously, the situation warranted it.
Right now, we're talking to our guy Josh Verner here for a couple of more minutes. All right, give me an X factor today. I'll get you out of here with these last couple of questions. Give me an X factor for the Royals today. Is it a Mikel Garcia? Is it a Michael Massey? Or is he just kind of developed to a point, hey, you're past the X factor. You're one of the contributing factors for this team. Give me an X factor for this Royals offense to kind of get some things going here. We have the stat. I don't know if I've told you this stat yet, but, I mean, since the playoff expanded, if you score less than 3 runs in the postseason, you are 8-67. You just don't beat teams at this stage of the season 2-1, 1-0. I mean, you need a dazzling pitching performance if that's going to be the case. That's just not what the Royals got yesterday. You're going to have to get to that 3 or 4 runs in order to win this game today. Yeah. Who can help them do that?
Well, I can't say Vinny because he's one of the key three in the lineup. I don't think Lucas Erceg can fit the X factor criteria. So give me Tommy Pham. I thought he's played a really good corner outfield defensively. Great energy, obviously, in the dugout. Pretty good numbers against Gerrit Cole. So I'll say Tommy Pham, the X factor for the Royals. I could also, again, Lucas Erceg out of the bullpen. And for the Yankees, you know, Gerrit Cole's a little too obvious, but you know, I think Gerrit Cole has the ability to just completely dominate this game. Maybe not Madison Bumgarner it, but you know, hand the ball right to their closer, Luke Weaver, and it could be a two-pitcher showdown tonight.
Give me an underrated ballpark treat, because I'll throw you one while I give you some time to think about it. Those little strawberry kebab things.
Really?
With the chocolate.
It's not too many of them?
Yeah.
It seems like there's like 6, and I'm like, I'll take 2.5. Maybe.
Well, I mean,
I
for the $13 it is, I wanted to put a couple more on there.
Okay.
Is what it is.
The In Craft and Draft, the pizzas that they make there are really good. I had a ton of them last season. Haven't been out there yet this year.
I don't know who we need
really
to talk to, but you need like a card that you just get the opportunity to just go eat wherever you want. Like, you should never have to pay for anything at Kauffman Stadium. What's going on?
Say it louder for the people in the backseat, Dot. I'm with you on that.
Sam Mellinger, hook it up.
Come on, man.
I don't know what's going on right here, man, but they need to set it up where you never have to pay for anything else to eat out at Kauffman Stadium. That is our guy, Josh Verner, joining us live on location here. We are at Kauffman Stadium. Verner, man, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're doing this a couple more times here. I don't want tomorrow to be the last appearance on
man,
the show.
No, man, I love this.
I want you to have a couple more appearances on the show, like a couple weeks more appearances on the show.
Let's do it.
Verner is going to be on the show every day that the Royals are still alive in the postseason. All right, coming up on the other side, maybe you're a little bit down today. You spent $2, $3, some of you spent more than that hundreds of dollars yesterday to go to the game, and the Royals lost. Rex Hudler is here to help fix all of that right now. You need some positivity in your life. Rex Hudler's coming over here. It's The Drive.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome to The Drive with CDOT on your home of Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Absolute honor to be joined by our next guest for the next 30 minutes. He made his major league debut September 9th, 1984 for the team we cannot mention. He was a top pick in the draft. He played from 1984 all the way to 1998. He was the conductor. He was the bus driver.
No.
He has been a broadcaster for the Angels.
Yes.
He was a broadcaster for the Royals in 14 and 15. And he currently is a broadcaster for the Royals. My dear friend, Rex Hudler joins us here. Hud, give it up for Hud here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll clap for you.
I'm so proud to be here with you. Now, I like going on the phone with you, but being in person is so much better, you know, because you got a smile, you're always happy, and I always try to make you smile even brighter by bringing you a pearl. I got you a pearl.
You did bring me a ball. Is this the ball that Stan hit into the outfield yesterday? Because he hit that thing a long way. Maybe you went to recover it.
Well,
because somebody, whoever got that ball, should have thrown that ball back onto the field. You can't keep that home run ball.
C-Dot, if it was that ball, it would have had a dent in it. It would have been dented on one side.
He hit that ball a long
way.
That's
a man. That's a grown man that hits the hardest line drives in the history of baseball. That dude's got his top 10 exit velos. He's the best. So, man, I feel bad for, was Judge that hit that missile at Junior last night? Oh, man. I've been on the other end of those before. C-Dot, if your strings aren't tight and that glove, you know, those strings are a little loose, you could lose your chiclets, man. If it comes through that glove, it's going to knock your teeth out. That's how hard that exit velo is.
Hud, I do want to talk to you about the game, but before we get to the game, I just need a good Hud story. You know, it's been a while since I've got a Hud story.
Oh, man.
I want you to tell me a story when you hit a home run like Stanton did yesterday,
gosh.
Where somebody threw just a meatball and you just sent it on a ride 410 feet. Give me one of those stories.
I'm liking it, and I'm watching this bus pull up. Did the Yankees already pull up today? They're already here.
Yeah.
These must be dignitaries then, because they're all dressed in suits and stuff, and they're all looking like they're important people.
We saw Judge earlier, and we saw Jazz Chisholm walked in. Chisholm, he was dressed to the nines.
Oh, boy. You know what? I got so many stories. I don't know which one to pull up now. If I had a postseason story, I'd do it. But here we go. Closest I ever got. Last game of the season, 1995. We're playing the Oakland A's. We had a great lead that whole year, the Angels. I'm with the California Angels, and we lost our lead because we had a 14-game losing streak. We lost, I don't know, like so many games in a row, and we gave Seattle three. So we had to win the rest of the week. So we won every game. Seattle lost three, forced a one-game playoff. So the day after the season, on the off day, the whole world stopped and watched the California Angels play the Seattle Mariners up at the Kingdome, and there was a guy waiting on us named Randy Johnson. Okay, so here we do. We finished the game on Sunday against the A's. We swept them, and we played our behinds off, and we made that. We forced a one-game playoff. Outside of Angel Stadium, we're going to the buses. We always would get underneath the stadium. We would get on the bus usually. But for this game, we were out in front. There was 5,000 people out there giving us a send-off. One game playoff. Winner goes on, loser goes home. That's how it was back then, because it was just a playoff to see who'd win the division. And we didn't have wild cards back then like they do now, because it opens up more opportunities for cities and other teams to get in. So we get on that bus, and I remember walking out of that stadium, feeling so excited and good, and these people screaming and stuff. And I was playing everyday second base then, so I wasn't a utility player. I had won that job down the stretch. And so we get up to Seattle, and man, I tell my buddy Mark Langston, who's starting that day against Randy Johnson, who was traded for Randy Johnson from the Montreal Expos. The Seattle Mariners got the big unit, and they sent us Langley because we were ready to win there. We needed an ace. And Randy was Randy then. He wasn't the big unit. He became the big unit a couple of years later. So we get up there. I tell Langley, no matter what happens during this is the biggest game of my career, why don't we make sure that we treat ourselves right and we accept we're a pro. We keep our head up. No matter what happens, let's be a pro. So he goes, okay, Hud, we're in. Game goes on. It's a unbelievable noise inside that Kingdome. It was so deafening. There were so many people. It was just screaming at the top of their lungs. The big unit has a no-hitter going into the seventh inning. I broke it up with a little squibber between Tino and Cora there and on the right side. Broke it up. Randy Johnson's running to first base, and here's that crowd, and he's got a no-no going in the playoff game, in a one-game playoff, and I'm yelling, "Not today, unit! Uh-uh! You ain't getting it today!" And he laughed and shook his head and went back to the mound. And Langley went out there, and they broke it open with like a 4, 5, 6-run inning. And it was horrible. And Langley was the starting pitcher, and there was a play. Luis Soho came up with the bases loaded, and he cleared the bases with a doinker right by J.T. Snow, our Gold Glover, got lodged in the benches down there. And Langley's laying at home plate. He's just laying there, and I'm walking back. The play's over, and I'm going, "Is he hurt? Get up! What are you doing? You're looking like a failure. Don't do that. That's what we talked about. Carry yourself like a pro. And if you get beat, you get beat by another great team." So they took him out of the game, and he's in the dugout with a towel over his head. And I'm watching him from second base out there on the field, and I'm going, you know what? He must not have understood what we talked about before the game. Because you're looking like a loser now. Cameras are all over the place. It's the only game in the world. And so I was so upset with my buddy. He's not a loser. Mark Langston, one of the best left-handers of our era. And so the inning was over. I walked over, not in front of the whole team. I walked over to his ear, and I said, "Get your blanking head up. That looks like blank." Okay, and I'm in the hole. So I'm going to hit that inning. So I get up, and it tweaked him. I didn't think it would tweak him. I thought he would go, "Yeah, you're right, Hud." No, no, no. He snapped. He got pissed. So he's yelling at me as I'm walking to the bat rack. He's going, he's saying some unkind words to me, C-Dot, because I didn't mean to offend him like that.
You challenged him.
Basically.
Yeah, you challenged him.
And he was not happy. So he follows me all the way down there. I'm getting my bat rack out of the my bat out of the rack, getting ready to go up again and face the big unit. And I put my helmet on, and I sit down. In the meantime, he's still chirping. He's right on my back, and I'm thinking I can't look at him. Because we could go to blows. We can't do that on the same team. And I knew the cameras were watching. So I sat down. I just sat down and kept my focus on the pitcher and what's going on out there, and I put my hand on his leg. I just put my hand on his leg, didn't look at him, but he felt me, and he calmed down. Okay, the inning's over, and I go back out, and I come back in. He's sitting in the dugout still with his head up now. Now he's sitting like he should have. So I went up to him, and I said, Langley, we've got a great relationship. You're one of my best friends. Please don't let this come between us. Thank you. I mean, please forgive me for saying something like that at a moment like that in your career. I'm so sorry. Will you accept my apology? And he goes, yeah, it's over. And, you know, that's how brothers do it. You know, you get rid of it. But I asked for forgiveness because I said some things to him that hurt, was hurtful. And just out of the passion of the game, like these guys are feeling today. This one game playoff today, this one game, that's how the Royals got to look at it. Their backs are against the wall. You go out and you compete, but you don't look defeated. Don't ever let anybody see you defeated. That was a pet peeve of mine. And those young pitchers that would come in and they would get lit up, and they would come in the dugout, put their head down with a towel. I go, dude, sit up. Take that towel off your head. You're getting beat by a guy who's making $1 million, man. You're not getting beat by a high school kid. Anyway, we lose the game, and it's over. And sure enough, the media all comes in saying, what was that outburst between you and Langston? They wanted to know it. So many words, I tried to encourage him, which really wasn't very truthful. I was kind of skirting the truth. So Langley, I'm on the Rome show the next day, Jim Rome. And Romy, he goes, Hud, what the heck was that? You and your buddy Langley went at it. Yeah, Romy, you know, I just trying to encourage him. It was a rough time, you know, kind of basically kept the same line. Well, Mark Langston had never been into the jungle before. And Roman always tried to get him in the jungle. That's what they called his show back in the day. And he was listening to the show with his family in the car.
He called in.
And he got chapped again. So he calls in. So the producer calls me on the phone right after we hang up with my interview. And he goes, Hud, there's a guy on the other line says his name's Mark Langston. I said, well, what did he say? Ask him what I said. And he came back and he goes, get your blanking head up. That looks like blank. And I said, that's him, because no one else knows. He's the only one who knows it. So he goes on. He goes, everybody loves Hud, you know, all this. But I got to set the record straight. What he said to me was challenging, and I stood up and challenged him, and that's exactly what happened. So what happened during that was a great lesson. It was never look defeated. When you're playing in baseball, a big league ball in front of cameras that are looking at you, never, never look defeated. Never, because you're not defeated. You lost that particular battle, but the body language is premium. So, and then Langley calls me back, and I said, Langley, you've made it to the jungle. Way to go. And thank you for sharing all that. I didn't have the courage to tell the people. I'm glad you did. So great job. I love you. And let's go to dinner tomorrow night.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Rex Hudler.
That's my story. See, but it pertains. This is a big game for a lot of these guys. Will never see a game like this again.
Keep your head up.
Yeah.
That's the message of
okay.
it.
Okay.
Coming up on the other side, we'll learn from Hud what the Royals need to do to send this game to New York. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile,
the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.